We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus, and we're just happy to be here today and knowing that God is still on the throne. And he's blessed and kept us to where we could come to you by the way of radio into your homes, automobiles. We trust that God has blessed you and kept you. And since this past week that the Christmas season is about over and we're coming to the end of this year and into the new year, and I hope that things will be better than they were in the past. But nevertheless, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you put your faith and your trust in him and listen to his word and read the word and exercise your rights in Christ Jesus, because you have the right to be a child of the King. And he has promised us good things, and many times we have received them, and maybe we didn't recognize them just right. But when you have faith in God, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing the word of God. It's not the hooping and the yelling and carrying on about these and that and one thing or another and betting on your best horse or something or other, but it comes by hearing the word of God, by reading the word of God, being inspired by his spirit to bring you to the place to where you can hear what he has to say by the reading and the listening to the preacher that would preach you the word of God. It's not about me, but it's all about him. It's not about you, but it's about him. Him who? Jesus. He is the one that died for us. He suffered for us. He took all of our sins upon him, nailed them to the cross, and therefore he has forgave us. The law couldn't save you, but we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. For the Bible teaches in Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So if you have a little faith, you can move a mountain. If you'll exercise it, he said, as much as a mustard seed. If you'll realize that the mustard seed is the smallest seed of any plant there is. But if it just lies there and kept in a thing that people wear around the neck, it'll never amount to anything but just a little seed, a little black speck, you might say. But if you plant it and you water it and nurture it and you put it there and it grows up, then it'll come to be a branch or a tree, rather, big enough for the fowls of the air to light in its branches. My friend, today you got to exercise that. If you got a little bit, just use it and it'll be a little bit more. But some people pray and want God to give them all the faith in the world. And all he says, if you have as much as a mustard grain. And I believe the Bible teaches me that to every man that cometh into the world, there is a measure of faith dealt unto him. But what you do with that mustard grain faith, my friend, is entirely up to you. You can believe and trust in the Lord, and it will grow if you just use it. But if you just let it lay dormant there, and it's going to just diminish away and not be no benefit to you or no one else. So I just pray God that would help you as we endeavor to bring forth some of the things that will help you in your faith to use that you got to whereby that it'll be there. We know that the Bible teaches that we'll be trying of our faith as though by fire. And we're going to go through some problems, my friend, and your faith is in God is going to be what's going to get you through it. So as we go to prayer at this time, you pray with us as we pray one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity once again that we can come into the homes and the automobiles by the way of radio. We pray, God, that you would bless bless them and help them, oh God. And as the days come upon us, for it's one day at a time. Yesterday is history and tomorrow is still future, but it's today. The day of today is the day of salvation. We pray that you would enlighten us, oh God, and help us by using us for thy glory and for the furtherance of the gospel, that it may go forth into the ears of the hearer and the heart of the believer to receive, and help them, oh God, that they understand that all things are possible with you and nothing is impossible with thee, that you created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and you are able to do all that exceedingly greater than what we could even imagine. So I just pray that you would touch the ears to hear, the heart to receive, and help us, O God, as we go from day to day in the Word of God, to believe upon thee and accept it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Lord. Amen and amen. Now, here's my wife. She's got something other over there.
And yeah, thank you,
Lord. We'll go from there, but the Lord bless you. And here's Sister Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for being able to bring something to you that will feed on. The name of this is Feeding on the Word of God. We need to feed on the Word daily, not just on Sunday or, you know, when we go to church. And a lot of people go to church and don't even carry the Bible with them. So you probably from that you glean where they are not really interested in reading the Word. They just go because it's a thing to do. But the name of this is Feeding on the Word of God. And as I said before, if there's anything that you'd ever like to have that I share with you, you just write to me and or send me an email, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, in Luke 10:42. These words in praise of Mary were spoken to Martha by the Lord Jesus, because Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, in Luke 10:39. The Lord stressed the necessity of feeding on the word in his clear and definite declaration, but one thing is needful. He obviously had reference to Mary's hearing his word. This evidently was a declaration concerning pleasing him. He showed Martha that it was only when she communed with him, drinking in his word, that she could really please him. He let her know he was not pleased with her service for him if she had no time for communion with him. If she would please him, she must permit him to serve her with spiritual food. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in this simple incident, clearly stressed the importance of receiving his word. For the Christian, it is a supreme necessity. We must feed on the word of God if we would be wise and vigorous in serving the Lord. This connection, we are reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus to the tempter, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," Matthew 4:4. It is very clear that the Lord recognized the spiritual need of man as well as the physical. He does not say that man can survive without bread, but he sounds a distinct note of warning against neglect of the word of the Lord. Bread alone will not support life. We need the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is to say, we need to feed on the word of God. How can we be spiritually vigorous if we do not feed on God's word? It is impossible. Will the physical body keep well and strong without food? Certainly not. No one would question this. Likewise, the spiritual life cannot be vigorous and strong without spiritual food. We hope to be understood. We do not wish to be arbitrary or peculiar, but we must speak truthfully. The mere reading of the scripture will not feed your spiritual life, although if this is neglected, grave perils are soon manifested. The believer who reads a number of verses of scripture and then rushes on with his work is in danger of becoming a chronic invalid spiritually. The believer needs to search the scriptures, meditate on them, and feast on them to receive divine light and power. We must feed our inner man. And to do this, we must gather food and eat it. A meditation here and there will not do. We must feed on God's word if we would be healthy, strong, and vigorous. We must do as the prophet of old did. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and reducing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And that's Jeremiah 15 and 16. An intelligent verbal knowledge of the scriptures will not do. This is not much better than writing an essay on bread in which a description of its ingredients and baking process is given. We must meditate upon the word. We must mix faith with the word when we read it or hear it taught and preached in Hebrews 4 and 2. The word must be digested. This takes time and a godly appetite for divine things. Lack of delight in the word reveals poor spiritual appetite. Food to be easily and well digested must be enjoyed. The appetite must be keen and normal. Worry and care hinder digestion. Discouragement and depression hinder digestion. We must learn to cast our care upon the Lord and to rejoice in Him if we would really digest the Word of God. Yes, we must seek to enjoy the Word. Above all, we need the working of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost caused the Word of God to be written years ago, and today he lives to apply, to interpret, to teach, and to make real with living power the written Word. We may read and study, we may use the best helps and hear the best preaching and teaching, and yet the force of Scripture will not be realized unless the Holy Ghost applies it. We need to be taught of God. We must behold with spiritual eyes, eyes wide open by the Lord. Oh, the joy of reality and the things of God is revealed in the Word. When we get beyond the mere historical and intellectual, the Word shines brightly before our eyes. Then we will have fellowship, strength, accuracy, and activity in the Spirit. We will grow in likeness to our blessed Lord and wait for His coming with glad hearts. And are the storms in your life getting you down this afternoon? If they are, turn to Jesus and He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. And as we are self-supporting, and if you would like to help us, just send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Everything would be appreciated, and the email will be given to you later. If you need prayer, just email us and we'll pray for you. May the Lord bless you.
Shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Living my faith
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding
in His great love. Yes, in His great love.
Sheltering on.
I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm.
I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side?
Living by faith in Jesus above.
Trusting, confiding
in His great love.
gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
Yes, living by faith. My friends, today I'm living by faith in my Lord and the promise that he has promised me, that when he told me that I could have eternal life, I can live by faith, and that it is. But it comes not by just because of thinking about it. The Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing. That's in Hebrews 11 and 6, but there, not 11 and 6, but he comes there about to tell us that without faith, yes, 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My friend, today we've got to seek after the kingdom of God. It just ain't come along and just dump right out on top of you. You got to have faith in God. Without the faith, it's impossible to please him. And without faith, you cannot do what God would have you to do. There's a lot of people today says, I've got faith in my job, I've got faith in this, but have you got faith in Christ Jesus? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that prepared the sacrifice that he made there on Calvary's cross from the foundation of the world. God knew that Adam was going to stumble in there on that one thing. And he told him he couldn't, not to touch or eat or look there, to have no dealings with that tree in the midst of the garden that would tell him right from wrong. But he said the tree of life, they could have all they wanted. But they listened, and to the enemy of your soul and of my soul and theirs, and the serpent came there, and the devil used him to tempt Eve, and therefore it come along. But now, my friends, we've come to the place to where in that through faith in Christ Jesus, we can have salvation. He came and died for us to bring us back from where that we have lost out. Because every man that born of a woman after Adam was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And having faith in Christ in the finished works of Calvary, for that he done there for you and I, we can have that faith. The apostles there made mention to him there one time. They asked him there in Luke 17 and 5, he says that he wanted to increase our faith. But he said in Romans 10 and 17, he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to have faith, you got to hear what the word of God says. You got to read it and study to show yourself a rightly approved, rightly dividing the word of God. So my friend, you can't just go at it as you would a True Story magazine and read it in that way and read over there what they done and how they done it and whatever. That's not faith in God. That's somebody writing a story, a novel, and everything. We got to read the word of God and believe that what it says us, and we got to trust in the one, the author in the of the book, and those that wrote it and believed in God. Now we take Paul and Peter and the apostles there. They, when Jesus was crucified, we know that how Peter once when they was in the boat, and Peter asked him, Lord, when Jesus came to him walking on the water, and Peter has said, Lord, if it be thee, bid I to come to you walking on the water. And he said, come. My friend, he said, the words said, come. Peter got out of the boat and was walking there until he became concerned about the wind and the waves boasting around him, and he began to sink. So he got his eyes off the Lord. When you start this walk with him, and you start and ask him to forgive you, got to keep your eyes on him. No, get not tangled up with the affairs of this world anymore, like the five foolish virgins did. They was all virgins. They was all had the Holy Ghost, no doubt, but they five of them was wise. They kept oil in the lamp. They kept the light burning, and they kept in touch by faith in God. But there's five of them that was foolish, and they let the concerns of this world get into their life and drug them back into the past. And so when the bridegroom come, they was lost because they didn't have oil in the vessels, neither no light to burn. So my friends, it's not time. The time is now that we should begin to exercise that little mustard grain faith, believing and trusting in the Lord, because the time is running out. We're living in the days of the end, not in the beginning. It's time that we begin to realize if we're going to accept anything that God has in store for us, it's got to come by faith in Christ Jesus. When he said we walk by faith, and if we don't walk by faith, anything other than faith is sin. So my friend, a lot of people are going to sit down to their meal, and they don't ask God to thank him for the meal or anything. They just gobble it down like a bunch of heathens, and that they don't ask him to bless it to the nourishment of their body. My friend, it's come time in this life that we're going to have to rely upon God. We're going to have to trust in him, or elsewise you'd be lost. There's going to come a time when there's going to be people that's coming and question you about it. They did in the apostles' days. They came and brought them up before kings and questioned them about their salvation. They was faithful and told them how it all came about. Well, you know how the scripture says that they was going to crucify Peter, and he said, not like my Lord, so they stood him up on his head and crucified him upside down. His faith was increased when he began to believe upon the Lord. You know how that Peter denied him three times before the cock crowed, but he had to tell him three times that I love you. So my friend, if you love God, it's time we made restitution to him for our sins. I don't mean you got to go around to everybody that you've ever done anything wrong to, but if unless God specifically puts something on your heart to do, then you'll eventually have to do it. But when you repent before God, faith and believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you seek after him, you can be found. He can be found because he's not far from you. He's presently there. All he's waiting is for you to make the effort to come to him. When he stood up on the last day of the feast and he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He makes mention about that you could come and get wine and milk and honey and everything without any price. My friend, the price that it's going to cost you to give up the things of this world and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, and you can enter in. Then you can be called a child of the King. Many people wants all the riches of the land. They want the fullness of whatever is natural, but they're not seeking after the unseen things. I have not seen into the kingdom of God yet, but I believe it's there, and one day it will be as visible as anything else is visible, but it's going to be by faith. We're going to have to come and enter in by faith through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door, and I am the way, so we got to come the way the scripture teaches us, or elsewise we're going to be lost. There's many preachers that's come down the road trying to tell you this and tell you that. I've heard them say you can go up and name it and claim it and get in it and drive it off. My friend, I believe that would be called stealing. That's not taking it by faith. God never promised us everything that we desired and wanted, but he said would be contented if you have bread and water. So, my friend, he's blessed us all, I'm sure, with the material things of this world. I know he has me. I know I come up during the Depression, and it was tough, but he's seen my needs. A few times I missed meals, but I never missed one that he wanted me to have, and it didn't hurt me, but I believe that God is able to do that and more, exceedingly greater than what I could even imagine, so I trust in him. I trust my life to him because, after all, he gave his life that I can have life. A man will save his life, will lose it. But if he loses it for the sake of the gospel and for Jesus Christ, he'll find life. Adam and Eve had the opportunity there, but he had to drive them out of the garden to keep them from reaching forth and taking the fruit of the tree of life, or they would live forever in their sins. But God drove them out. My friend, he wants you to come out from amongst the sins and the doubt and the confusion of the world and come unto him, trusting in him, and he will make a way for you. You say, well, Brother Compton, why is it he lets all these things? You know why that the things are happening around the land? Because he said they would. Because wickedness, sinful, people mistrusting God. They don't trust in him. And all these things that people are running around doing is because that the enemy of their soul applies something other to them and they act upon it. So it wasn't him that made them do it. It was them that done it because they have no faith in God. They think that whatever they do is right in their own sight, and they do it. They done it in the days of Noah, and they're doing it in this day. As someone said there a while ago, said, when you pull up at a red light and someone pulls up there beside you, you never know where he's going to just sit there and wait for the light to change or go on like you were supposed to do, or he's going to pull out a gun and shoot you. We're living in perilous times, my friend. That's why I'm teaching to have faith in Christ Jesus. Your salvation, the very life that you live, depends upon Jesus Christ. The devil came into this world seeking that he could devour. He came to steal and to kill. Jesus came into where you could have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, my friend, today an abundant life would be entering into the kingdom of God through faith in him and having that blessed hope that we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Without the faith that of a mustard seed, you're not going to make it. I won't make it. No one will. But that mustard seed faith, if we'll plant it and deep into the wound there in the soil and in the very intents of our heart and let it begin to grow, that faith will become a stalk big enough for the fowls of the air to light on its branches. But my friend, if it stays dormant, if you don't believe in God and don't exercise that little faith, it's going to stay a small faith. And when he went over to crossed over the sea there one time when he was in the boat, and Jesus was tired. He was a man, but yet he was God. But he was tired, and he laid in the back of the ship there on some pillars, and he went to sleep. But when the tempest arose and the winds began to be contrary and the waves began to tip at the boat and began to put it in danger, they went and woke him up and said, "Master, do you care whether we perish or not?" And they woke him up, and he stood up and rebuked the winds and the sea become calm. And then they wondered, "What manner of man is this that even to the winds and the sea obeys him?" My friend, it was God in the flesh. The man called Jesus came to bring forth faith into our lives, to bring us to the place to where that if we'll ask him in faith and believing, it'll be done for us. But many people, they'll say, "Lord, do this and do that," but they hadn't got no faith, but it didn't happen like I thought it would. like a story I heard about a woman that had lived on one side of the mountain, and she wanted to know what was on the other side of the mountain, a literal mountain. So she heard somebody say that if you had as much faith as a mustard seed, you could say unto that mountain to be you therefore moved, and the scripture does say that. Jesus said it himself. But she wanted to see what was on the other side of the mountain, and she didn't want to have to climb the mountain to see. But she said, got up the next morning, and she said, yeah, just as I thought, it's still there. Doubt is not going to get you the things that you have need of from God. The greatest thing you have need of is salvation, but it comes through faith in him. The faith in the work that he done on Calvary's cross, the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood, faith in that he said he come that you could have life and have it more abundantly. You got to have faith in it, my friend. You can't, I can't give it to you. You can't buy it. There's nobody can say you have more faith or this. There's a lot of preachers are preaching faith and everything, but it only comes by the will of God through believing and reading and hearing the word of God. And it's exercising that mustard grain faith, believing and trusting in the Lord. It may take, as Daniel was praying there one time, he prayed, and with 21 days, he's praying in faith. But the angel finally come to him and he said, your prayer was on the way the first day you went to prayer, but it was hindered by the prince of Paladins over there. Oh, my friend, today the enemy is going to try to keep your prayer from getting through if he can. But you're going to have to press on. You're going to have to believe that your prayer is touching the throne of grace. You're going to have to believe that God will hear and listen. And when he sends the answer, is on the way. But you got to wait on it, and sometimes it's hindered because of some reason or another, doubt maybe, or the enemy tries to hinder you from receiving it. But keep praying and believing and trusting in the Lord, and he will see you through whatever the trial or the mountain, you might say, that you're up against, sickness or whatever it may be, or crisis of some kind or another, or your home being foreclosed or thing. He'll make a way where there seemeth no way, but you got to use that little mustard grain of faith that I believe that every man that cometh into the world is dealt at least that much. But you got to exercise it and put it to work and believe in God and trusting in him, reading his word, being zealous for the glory of God, and being therefore walking in the faith and believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to seek after him. You just can't say, Lord, give me this and give me that. Lord, I need this or I need that, and go on your way and think that you're going to receive everything that you asked for. He didn't say he was going to do that for us, but he said he would meet our needs. My friend, everybody don't need a $25,000 home or $1 million home and everything. Be contented with that you have. If you live in a pup tent, it's a roof over your head, shelter you from the rain. If you be contented with that and believing and trusting in God, first thing you know, you'll get something else. But it don't all come by just one prayer. It comes diligently seeking after God. It comes by fasting and praying. I believe that Jesus cast out the devils of one of there. The apostles couldn't do much with it, but they were still there. And the man, the devil would throw him down and almost put him in the fire. It almost drowned him a few times. And the boy's dad come to Jesus and said, I brought him to the apostles and they couldn't do nothing, but he pineth away. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he fled from him. And the apostles asked, why couldn't we do it? He said, these kind come by fasting and praying. My friend, diligently seeking, putting aside your wants and your desires and seeking after the kingdom of God and fasting and praying. Fasting doesn't do anything but God, but it'll help you out a lot and help me out a lot. I know that what through faith, he put me back on my feet. And I like to tell the story how God put me on my feet. feet after doctors told me I was going to be paralyzed. But I suffered for a while, but my faith increased. He finally put the finishing touch to me, and I went on. And God has blessed me for over 40 years. I've still been walking on my legs and things that doctors said I'd never walk anymore. But God has raised me up, and I told him there if he could get more praise and honor out of me in a wheelchair, then you said you'd give me desire in my heart. I said I'd rather do it on my feet. I know a lot of people don't agree with my preaching, but then they all agree with Jesus, and they nailed him to a tree. They didn't agree with the apostles' teachings and everything, but Paul coming there, and they finally put them all to death, most of them. John the Revelator was carried out on the Isle of Patmos for the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and he wrote the book of Revelations, but he was brought back to the mainland, and he died an old man. But yet some people says the church raptured out on the fourth chapter of Revelations, because Paul, John heard a voice behind him and said, come up here. But my friend Paul, John came back to the for the mainland and died an old man. He was the church, then we can't look forward to nothing but going into heaven and coming back and die. I don't believe so, my friend. It's faith in God is going to bring us into the kingdom of God. It's not faith in the material things of this world, because they've been detrimental to a lot of people, because they've sought after it many ways. They want this and they want that. And if they can't get it no other way, they'll come steal it from you with a gun point, at a point of gun or whatever. They kill and steal, and they'll come forth. But faith in God will bring forth the part that God said he would bless us with and keep us in the time of trouble, that he would bring us through our trials. He make a way for us to escape them, but in every trial. But we got to trust in him. We got to diligently seek him. It's not about you or me, but it's all about him. He who died for us. He that God was manifested in the flesh and came and died for us there on Calvary's cross. Shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He rose the third day as he said he was, and he's alive forevermore. And he sits down on the throne there, and he's there waiting upon you to come to him and say, forgive me, or waiting to answer your prayer when you diligently seek him and meet your needs. I've seen the hand of God move in many where near and away. They used to have revivals that would go on for 7 or 8 days or maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Now you can't get, some of the preachers won't let another preacher come in and preach except that he does the same thing he does and talk about this or talk about that. They don't want to hear the unadulterous word of God. They don't want to face up the reality in the word of God. They want to do their own little thing and have something other going through the motion. The Bible says that there would come a time that they would love him with their lips, but their hearts would be far from him. Faith in God is the only thing that's going to get us from here to the place that Jesus said that he would go and prepare for us. And I'm looking for that place. I'm just a pilgrim passing through here, but I'm seeking after a kingdom that was not made with hands. Oh, my friend, today it's only going to come by the grace of God through faith. It can't come with silver and gold, but I want you to know that the silver and the gold has got to be purified. It's got to come through the fire. And so if you go through the fire, your faith is going to be tried as though by fire to see whether it's genuine or not. But when it's come through and the faith, it is stand the test of the fire, and it comes through as pure, fine gold. It's meant to be that way. My friend, today, if we look into the ways that things happening, somebody is being tried. Their faith is being tried. They claim to have faith in God, and it's being tried as though by fire. Maybe maybe for various different reasons. We see the things happening all across the land. It's having faith in God, and we're going to be tried as though by fire. So look up. When you see these things coming, the Lord says, when you see these things coming upon the world at the end of the age and everything, look up and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's faith in God, my friend, that's going to get us into the kingdom of God. Not for any works that you or I could do. Silver and the gold ain't going to make it. But just a simple prayer of asking God to help us. Faith in Him. Faith in the finished works at Calvary. Faith in the Almighty God that will get us into the kingdom. Having all these things and believe, and after we have done all we can do, He said to stand and see the salvation of God. My friend, today when knowing was there, he built the ark and was saved in the flood. The only thing that's going to get this world, the people that are in here, from being burned up by the fire, the wrath of God, is going to be having faith in God. And when He comes to take His bride out, them that's left is going to face the fierce anger of God and all of the things and the corruption of the way of God. Because Revelation says when these things come, He said, no man repented. The only way that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved is by faith in the finished works of Calvary. Believing and trusting in Him. You can't get there any other way. There's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. I don't care what other name you use or whatever. Different languages may pronounce it a little different from what I do. And me being an old Southern boy, I may kind of mess up a little bit myself there sometimes. But nevertheless, God knows my heart. He knows your heart. And my desire is to see people one for the kingdom of God, born again of the water and of the Spirit, seeking after God with their whole heart. That is my desire to see. It's not me that I can do it myself, but I tell you about one that can, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the only one that can forgive sin. God Himself, He was manifested in the flesh according to the Scriptures, came and died on Calvary's cross. He was all man, but yet He was all God, because it pleased God that in Him that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. My friend, you can't separate Him. God's not separated. There's a lot of things that's separating people from the grace of God. Material things and doubt and first one thing and another. This sexual immortality, immoral going around in the world, same as it did in Noah's time. There was sin running rampant. Look at the way the world has come to. All the things that have been said in the Bible, they are upon us today. Faith in God is the only thing that's going to be your hope. Salvation through Jesus Christ and faith in His finished works at Calvary is going to bring you through the trials and the tests that is yet to come. He said, except those days be shortened, no man will be saved. My friend, you got to call upon the name of the Lord. You got to trust in Him. You got to put your faith in Him that He said that He would be a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to seek after Him. When you was out without a job, if you'd have just sat there and never asked or never went out looking for it, you'd have never got one. Some people go looking for a job and they tell the man when he come up there, you don't need nobody to work for you, do you? What you need to do is go to the man and tell him, I need a job, and I was wondering if you can give me one. Jesus said, you asked and you shall receive. You come to Him and say, I need you, Lord. I need salvation. I'm a lost sinner. I need salvation. It can only come through faith and believing and trusting in Him. You can't get it no other way. Plain and simple. It was never given to no one else through any other way. We got to realize that when the centurion went to the Lord there and said his daughter was lying sick, and he said that he was under authority. He had authority to say, you go and come, and they would do so. But God said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I haven't found no faith in all Israel as this. my friend, but he told him, he said, go, and as your faith be it unto you. And he went, and his daughter lived. My friend, if you come to that faith, that place, believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As your faith be, it will be unto you. And if you doubt, not doubting, you can receive. But many people will say, Lord, do this or do that. I need this or I need that. I've had them to come up to me in back years past and ask me to pray for them. And I said, do you believe God will do it? Yeah, I believe God will do it, but that showed doubt right there. God's not going to work over your mind of thought, my friend. He's not going to force his will upon you, and he's not going to go over your will. But he will come to you if you will let him open up your heart to him, believe in him, and trust in him. He will come into your life, and he will meet your needs. Not all you want, but he'll meet your needs. And I can plainly say that with all of my heart. He has met my needs all the days of my life. Not my wants, because the old flesh wants a lot of things, but God has met my need. He has come to me and met my need many times in things that I had need of, healing my body and bringing me forth. But the best thing he ever done for me in faith and believing and trusting in him, he came and met the need of salvation for my soul. He looked beyond all of my faults and seen my need, and my need was I needed him. I needed salvation. I was a sinner, lost. And the Bible says if we're guilty of the least, we're guilty of it all. So I was guilty of it all. But he came unto me, and he blessed me and gave to me forgiveness of my sins and my iniquities, and gave me the gift of his Spirit, to whereby that I can diligently seek him and pray and seek after him. My friend, it's not just something of the one-time thing. You got to keep on pressing. Paul said there that he had left all these things behind him. He counted it as nothing but dung. In other words, he left mother, father, and all these things, of whatever happened to him in his past life when he came to Christ Jesus. All of that was nothing to him but dung. He said, but now I press toward the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus. We got to press. It's a pressing way. You just can't say, Lord, come into my life and go on and say that you're on your way to the kingdom of God and do whatever you want to. It don't work that way. You got to keep pressing. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It means prayer, seeking after him every day. Every hour of the day, keeping your mind upon him as much as is humanly possible, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith. Oh, some people think that once they got it, they got it, and all they can do is just go on and skip along. But they go down the road, and something other happens, and they say, Lord, why'd you let this happen? It's because of trying of your faith, my friend. Oh, when you was a young man, a young girl, mom and dad back in the days when I come along, you did something wrong, it chastised you. I know my mama whipped my legs a lot of time with the switch ellum limb, as I call it. And she taught me the right and the wrong, brought me upright. And I know some of the boys that I grew up with, their mothers and dad let them do whatever they please. And a lot of them wound up in prison. Some of them dead and gone now. But I want you to know I appreciate a mother that told me about Jesus and corrected me and insisted that I learn something about my Savior. I appreciate it today. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, my friend. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. It's time that we begin to get a hold of the hem of the garment with God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and stay there till we hear from God through faith and believing and trusting in him. There, the whereby that we can have that blessed hope in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the whereby that we won't be left when he comes, as the foolish virgin was when they said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The wise ones had the oil, they went out to meet him, and the door was shut. When the others went out and they come and knocked on the door, he said, I don't know where you at. I don't know you. They didn't get in according to the scriptures. So my friend, when he comes to behold and take his bride, and them that's left ain't gonna make it. Them that wouldn't get in the ark in the time that Noah was there, preaching unto them that God was going to send the flood. The ark was finished and Noah went in, and 7 days of yet of grace, and nobody entered in. But when the rain began to fall, the door was shut, then the rains began to fall. There was some prayer meeting going on, but it was too late. They didn't get in the ark. My friend, don't be left out because of someone fooling you. Now, read your Word of God. Let me encourage you. Buy your Bible. Get your Word of God down and read it and see what it has to say. Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your personal Savior. Don't go by whatever wind of doctrine about everybody that comes down the road. Read the Word and see if what He's telling you can be backed up with the Word of God. Then you can know that something differently from what just an old ship-shod way. It's got to be faith in Him, faith in believing that He will accept you as you are and cleanse you and make you what He wants you to be if you will allow Him. It's like the clay. And the potter takes the clay and puts it on the wheel, and when he begins to mold it and shape it into what he desires to make it out of, it takes pressure on it to mold it, to go down, to make it into what he wants it to be. My friend, that's the way it is with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He wants to mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be, a vessel lent for the Master's use, that he can use you for his glory. He may not use you the same way as he does another, but he can use you if you will let him to make you a vessel that he wants to make out of you. Don't rebel against him. Just trust him. Faith in him and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will get you into the kingdom of God. But doubt and confusion, discord in one thing or another of this world, and clinging on to this and that in one thing or another will get you lost without any hope. Oh, my friend, today let me encourage you, read your Word of God and see what it has to say and see where you're at and see comparison to your life with the Word of God. And if the Word of God shows you that you need to measure up, you need to come in to the place to where you need to get it right, then get it right. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus through faith and believing, and you can be saved. But you can't make it no other way. I see our time is about gone. And we trust that God will bless you, keep you in this new year coming up, that you will trust in Him. But this may be the last year. I don't know. Maybe the last week. I don't know that either. But trust in the Lord, and He'll see you through. May God richly bless you. Write to us. Email us, and God bless you. We'll be talking to you next week. The Lord willing, we'll be on the air again next week at this same time. God bless.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the eye. first believe. My chains are